Tonight we're going to talk about how to focus. So I'm going to start with Philippians 3:10, and I'll be reading from the Message, so it might look a little different than what you have. It says, I give up all that inferior stuff so that I could know Christ personally, experience his resurrection power to be a partner in his suffering, and go all the way with him to death itself. If there was any way to get in on the resurrection of the dead, I wanted to do it. I'm not saying that I have it together, that I have it made, but I am well on my way, reaching for Christ who has so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert, but I have my eye on the goal, where God is beckoning us towards Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. So let us keep focused on that goal. Those of us who want everything God has for us, if any of you have something else in mind, something less than committed, God will clear your blurred vision so that you can see. Now that we're right on track, let's stay on track. And that scripture encapsulates what I want to talk to you tonight about is when you're on a path, when you're headed somewhere, it takes focus and determination to stay on that track. There's going to be plenty of opportunities to get off track. And so tonight I want to talk to you about how to stay on that track. Focus is the key to completing your race. Once you start it, once you're determined, there's going to be opportunity to come along to try to steal that focus. Focus is defined as a central point of attraction, attention, or activity. So when you focus on something, you're taking all your attention, all of your energy into one area. It's a central location. And focus is required in anything you do, because if you're not focused, you're distracted. I heard a quote once that said, when you discover your assignment, you will discover your enemy. Satan wants to divert your attention. As soon as you have something that you are focused on, he's immediately going to come, steal, kill, and destroy. It says in John 10:10, the thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that you might have life, enjoy it to the abundance, to the full, until it overflows. So as soon as you focus your attention on an assignment is the exact moment that the enemy's going to come in and try to steal, kill, and destroy your focus. Today I was studying and I realized I'm very distracted. I started just thinking about other random things. My phone would go off and I realized I'm teaching about focus tonight and right now I'm having a hard time focusing. So I had to immediately identify what the distraction was and turn my attention back to the central focus, and that was this message. And so once you set your focus on something, you're going to have to continually refocus. And this doesn't have to be hard if you're always adjusting. If you're always making little adjustments along the way, it's going to be a natural thing. But if you allow your attention to go way off into another direction, it's going to take a drastic change to bring it back to the center. And so once you're aware of where my attention is supposed to be, you can constantly be adjusting everything else around where your eyes are supposed to be. A couple tactics that Satan used, and I mentioned, was distraction, but it's defined as a person or thing that prevents concentration. So distraction is the complete opposite of focus. And it's going to try to come in and it's going to take your attention away from what you're supposed to be doing. How do you know what a distraction is? A distraction is something that doesn't fall in line with what you're devoted to, what you're dedicated to. So if you find yourself committed to something or to someone, and you are trying to make these little adjustments along the way, the easiest thing to identify if something is a distraction is, does this fall in line with where I'm headed? Does this line up with the path that the Lord told me to take? Where's my attention supposed to be? Where's my attention right now? And you can find you're either on the same track or you're a little off and you need to bring it back. And that's not where condemnation comes in. That's just where the Lord gives you discernment to identify where am I at right now and how do I need to get back on track. It's kind of like when you're looking at a map and it gives you those little adjustments, that annoying little voice that says 100 feet turn left, and then you bypass it and it auto reroutes you and gives you all these instructions. A lot of times it can be a simple little adjustment if you do it right away. But if you keep going in the opposite direction, it's going to take you a while to get back. And so tonight, as we talk about focus, it's to help you guys not get so far off the beaten path that it takes major adjustment to come back, but to help you identify, where do I need to make changes? Where do I need to make adjustments? How can I stay on track without getting completely diverted? And as I was preparing, the Lord showed me two common distractions that the enemy uses and that are common to your age group. One is challenges, and the other is temptations. When you're on a path, there's going to be challenges. There's going to be temptations, and that's not sin. The Lord already said, these things will come, but you will overcome them. And so it's how you handle those distractions that'll determine your destination. The first one is challenges. Name some goals that you have in life.
Graduate high school.
What else?
Get a job.
Married.
Get through college.
Navy SEAL. So career, military.
A car.
Without debt, yes. So let's take some of these goals. We have a goal of college. A challenge could be bad grades or finances. You have, let's say you want to have a job. Your challenge could be finding that job. Your challenge could be people. Let's say you want to be in professional sports or in the military. A challenge could be injury or not qualifying to the standard that they set. Some people want to go into ministry, and we're all in ministry, called to the ministry, but to a full-time, five-fold ministry. A challenge to that could be your past. The enemy will try to tell you that you can't be used. And in that, there's a lot of public speaking and platform time. And a challenge could be fear of people. It could be speech difficulties. I know many singers and public speakers who had speech impediments growing up. And the devil would try to use that to tell them, you can't do what you're called to do. But all of those things are just called challenges. And we know that challenges will come, but it's what you determine and decide to do with your challenges that's going to dictate where you're going. You don't have to let a bad grade hold you back from college. You don't have to let finances hold you back from what you're believing for. You don't have to let something, a physical ailment, determine whether or not you're capable of something, because we know what the word says about that, that you are healed, that you are whole. And so all of those things are just tactics of the enemy to try to get you to get your eyes off of the goal. One thing he does with challenges is he magnifies them. I have a magnifying glass right here. And right now I can look at my screen and see it at a certain font, but as soon as I hold this magnifying glass up to it, it becomes so much bigger. But reality is, when I move this magnifying glass, this is what it really looks like. But the devil's going to try to put this magnifying glass in front of your eyes and get you to look at challenges and problems and make you think that they're bigger than they really are. Make you think that they're so huge that you can't overcome them. And that's a tactic he's going to use. And as a girl, sometimes we take those things and blow them out of proportion emotionally. There's a problem and we get emotional about it. Guys tend to get a little more aggressive and angry. We get a little more on the sensitive side. But the enemy's going to come in and try to magnify things in your life, get your feelings all wrapped up in it, make you feel like it's a huge deal, impossible to overcome. And he's got you. He's got you right where he wants you, distracted. If you take that magnifying glass away from your eyes and put it in perspective, the Lord's so much bigger. But the enemy wants you to think that those challenges and those problems are bigger than your God. And when he has you in that place, he thinks he's won. And it takes you renewing your mind, adjusting your focus and your attention, so that your perspective can be based on his word, not on feelings, not on the circumstance, not on the challenge, but on the truth. It says the truth will set you free. So if you need blinders taken off your eyes, if you need to focus a little better, you spend time in this word and you read about how big your God is. And the more time you spend with him, the smaller these problems are going to be. There's this famous song, and the lyrics are, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." The more you look at him, the less you'll be looking at your problems. Look at it as taking off in an airplane. The higher you go, the smaller everything becomes. So the higher you go with him, the higher you look and keep your eyes focused on him, you're going to be able to come up and rise above those circumstances. And when you're up there with him, it puts it in perspective. Everything is so small. Texas feels like a really big state, but when I fly to Washington, I bypass so many states, so many rivers, so many mountains, that Texas becomes really small in perspective. But right now, it feels like the biggest thing ever, especially when I can see all the way to Dallas on some roads. But the higher you get, the higher you look, the more everything down here is going to become smaller. And I'm not saying that the things you go through aren't significant, but don't give them enough attention that they become bigger than your God. Because that's what that devil wants you to do. He wants you to get your focus off of your God, onto your problem, and then he takes that magnifying glass and he blows it up. And now you're looking at something that seems so big, and your family and friends are going, "Don't worry about this. This is not a big deal." But. No buts. Yeah, right? Get your eyes on him. Because when your eyes are on him, that's where there's peace. That's where there's joy. That's where there's safety. In this last couple weeks, the Lord's really been having me focus on him. I'm a detailed-oriented person. I want a plan. I want to know everything. And he's saying, "Just trust me, Jen. Just trust me." And there's opportunity for fear and anxiety in any area of life. Finances, relationships, you name it, the devil's going to try to come in and create fear and strife. And it was just in the last couple days that the Lord said, "Just come spend time with me." And all I did, it was actually back here in the girls' Bible study this Sunday. We prayed in the Spirit for a while, and I just laid down on the floor, flat out, put my head down, just started praying in the Spirit. Within minutes, it was like I was in another place. There's this peace that came over me. My circumstances didn't change. Nothing physically changed except my focus. My focus got on him. And that afternoon, I went home, and I was like, "Lord, I just want to spend time with you." So I opened up to Philippians 4, 6 through 8. "Don't worry about anything, but in everything, let your requests be made known to God." It says, "Tell me what you need and thank me for what I've done, and then you will experience peace." You know what I did? I took it very literally. I said, "Lord, this is what I need." And I just started praying. "This is what I'm believing for. Thank you for what you've done. You've done this, 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 and this, and this." And I got over into an attitude of gratitude. And then I just started praying in the Spirit. And literally within minutes, I felt so relaxed and so at peace. And it was almost, you ever get so tired, ready for a nap, that you just feel limp, like I can't do anything? It was like that place, but it wasn't going to take a nap. It was right after dinner. It wasn't nap time. It wasn't bedtime. I was just spending time with the Lord. And I got over into a place that no one can get to with a drug or with the help of anyone else, but only the presence of the Lord. And you have that same ability to take your focus, to put it on him, and nothing else mattered after that point because I was with him. I was connected. Like Cassandra said, I could feel the heartbeat. And his presence was tangible in my room. And that same experience is what you can have every single day. That's what he wants with you, is a close relationship. And that's how you're going to be able to overcome any of these challenges. Another distraction the enemy is going to use is temptation. It talks about in Matthew 4 about temptation, but Jesus didn't give into it. And so many times people think that temptation is a sin. Temptation is an opportunity to sin, but it's not sin. Because Jesus was tempted, yet he knew no sin. So you can be tempted, but it's whether or not you give into it that determines if it's a sin. So even Jesus was tempted by the things you face every day. But he was determined and he was focused on the right things and didn't allow that to turn into sin. But the devil's going to try to get you over into those places. In James 1, 12 through 16, you can read about it. It talks about how God doesn't tempt, Satan does. Satan will try to get you to think that the Lord's trying to get you to do something. And you know that if it doesn't give you life, then it's not the Lord. In the Word it says, think on these things, what is pure and lovely and honorable and true. So if it isn't any one of those things, that's not the Lord. And so it's very easy to identify, is that the Lord speaking or is that the enemy? Because the Lord is going to line up with the Word. It's going to bring peace. It's going to bring joy. But the enemy's going to kill and steal and destroy, bring condemnation, fear, and worry. So if those are the things you're experiencing, that's not your God. But he's going to try to come in and have you think, well, this movie's okay. There's only a few bad parts. I'll fast forward them. I really like the beat of this song. And I can't even hear the lyrics, so it doesn't matter. Or, oh, that popped up on the internet. Oh, I didn't mean to, but I am kind of curious. What is that? Those are all little temptations that are going to try to creep in and steal your attention. And those are temptations, and you have opportunity to say no. But the devil's going to try to get his magnifying glass out and make it more appealing to you. And so it's going to require the focus that we've been talking about. Where's my focus? What am I supposed to be focusing on? And all of these things boil down to a trap. A distraction is a trap. I have my little mouse trap. I didn't arm it because that would be bad. But a trap is defined as a device or strategy for catching a person unaware. So a trap is going to try to come in and take your attention without you being aware. Do you think the little mouse walking up to this trap wants to die? No. It just wants that little bit of bait that's right there. It's not looking at the trap. It has no idea what this contraption is. It just knows that there's something that smells good and looks good sitting right there. And it's so focused on it that it goes for it and then is caught unaware and snap, it's dead. And that's what the enemy's going to try to do to you. It's going to try to lure, take your attention when you're least aware and come in and try to steal what the Lord's given you. Try to take what he's put in front of your eyes. And so it requires the focus, the determination of the race that you're in to keep you on that path, to say no to that bait, to make choices that may not be popular so that it will go well with you. It says in Proverbs 4:20, my child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their bodies. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. The key to staying focused is keeping the relationship with Jesus at your center. It says, listen to my words and don't lose sight of them. It isn't about clocking in time reading your Bible, clocking in time to pray. It's about spending time with your Father, just like you would spend time with your friends. You don't just text or call a friend to say, well, got that taken care of today. You text and call them because you miss them. You want to spend time with them. You're building a relationship with them. It's not about getting a certain number of text messages in or a certain amount of minutes on the phone. It's about having a close bond with someone. And that's the same thing the Lord is asking for. He's not asking for 15 minutes praying in the Spirit, 12 minutes reading the Word, 13 minutes worshiping. He's just asking for you, your time. And so it's not about being legalistic over how you spend your time. It's just about spending time with him. And that's how you're going to keep your focus on your path, is because he's right in the middle of it. He's at the end. Come to me. I'm walking with you down this. It says he goes before you and he comes behind you. So he is all around you. And he's just saying, spend time with me. I love you. I don't care what happened yesterday. I don't care what you did. Put it behind you. Come spend time with me. And I know it can be hard to keep your focus, but it's actually not that difficult. 1 Timothy 4:11 through 16 says, "Teach these things and insist that everyone learn them. Don't let anyone else think less of you because you're young. Be an example to all believers in what you say and how you live, in your love, faith, and purity. Until I get here, focus on reading the scriptures to the church, encouraging the believers and teaching them. Do not neglect the spiritual gift you received through prophecy spoken over you, but give complete attention to these matters. Throw yourself into the task so everyone can see your progress. Keep a close watch on how you live and on your teaching. Stay true to what is right for the sake of your own salvation and the salvation of those that are near you." So what are you supposed to do? Focus on these matters. Focus on what matters most: his word, time with him, and others. If the band could come up, this isn't just about you. There is somebody out there who's waiting for you, and their destiny and where they end up is going to be based on what you do today. Some people don't know anything about the gospel. I heard a story about someone once, and they were in a jewelry store, and they looked in the little case, and they saw a cross, and they said, "Who's that little person on the cross?" And you might think that's really funny, but there's people who have never heard about Jesus, never heard the gospel. And it's up to me, it's up to you, to share it with them. If you read in the scriptures, it says, I'm not wasting my time. I'm not waiting. Or it says, I'm waiting for you. Waiting for each and every one of you that one might not perish. He's just waiting up there for his return till he gives us as much opportunity to bring as many people in to our family as possible. But it requires us to be focused on the right things, to put our attention on what is true and what is lovely and what is honorable, to fix our eyes on him, to get rid of the distractions, to not let the challenges and the temptations become so big that we're no longer on our path. And there's some of you who have been focusing on the wrong things. The enemy's taken your attention and diverted you off the path. It could be something as small is looking at a bad picture. Or for girls, looking at magazines and wishing you were something that the Lord didn't create you to be. Putting false images in your head of what real beauty is. And boys, sometimes you look at things that is a false representation of what true beauty is. And so the devil tries to build up these lies in your head of things that aren't true and aren't pure and aren't lovely. He tries to desensitize you through culture and media and movies and music. Oh, that's not so bad. That won't affect me. Your ears and your eyes, those are gates into your heart. And what's in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. And so whatever you let in is affecting you. Whether you're singing it out loud or you're listening to it, it affects you. And so tonight, as I was preparing, the Lord just wanted me to tell you, refocus. Get your attention on me. Get rid of the distractions. And this isn't condemnation. This is a quick adjustment. Lord, forgive me for looking at that. Forgive me for giving my attention to that when you told me that wasn't for me. And so tonight, in the few minutes we have left, I'm going to pray with you guys, and then we're just going to spend a few minutes in worship. Just spread out across this room, getting alone with the Lord, and just worshiping with him, getting your eyes fixed on him. So with every eye closed, every head bowed, if that's you tonight, if you've had your focus on things that are not of God, if you've been headed down a path that doesn't end well, that the Lord's not at the end saying, "Well done," he wants you to come back. He wants to set your track right. This isn't just for you. This is for another person that's waiting for you on that path. There are people that are waiting for you. The Lord's waiting for you. And so if that's you, I'm not going to make a spectacle out of it, but I just want to pray with you. So if that's you, raise your hand. We're going to pray together. If you've been looking at things, thinking about things, your actions haven't lined up with the word, I'm going to lead you in a prayer of repentance, and that takes care of it. We're not here to sulk and to meditate on it. We just want to get it taken care of. Repent means to turn, so we're going to turn from it tonight. So if everyone repeats after me, Lord, forgive me for giving my attention to things that don't glorify you. I repent for not focusing on you and what you've asked me to do. Today I commit to setting my eyes on you and running the race you set before me. And there's another group of you who maybe have said no to the Lord before, or you've never said yes to him at all. I never want to leave a service without giving an opportunity for someone to come to the Lord. If you've never had a relationship with him, you've never had this intimate relationship that I'm talking about, where you just spend time with him, just you and him in your quiet place, where you've experienced his love, the Lord wants to meet you where you're at tonight. And so if that's you, everyone's eyes are closed. No one's going to look around. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want you to raise your hand so I know who you are and so that I can pray with you. There's no shame. It's the best decision you'll ever make. I see your hands. So if everyone would repeat after me, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and be Lord of my life. I confess Jesus is Lord. And I believe you raised him from the dead. Thank you for making me new and giving me a fresh start with you. Now, if you all look up at me, this relationship that I'm talking about tonight, it's just as simple as talking to your best friend, asking them how their day went. Tell them how much you love them, how much you appreciate them, thanking them for who they are in your life. When you go home and you're in your quiet place, just opening up the Bible and discovering more about him. It's not about just reading words on the page. It's finding out who he is. Getting his heart downloaded into yours. Because the more time you spend with him, the more you'll become like him. Just like you spend a lot of time with your best friends or some siblings, you start to act like them. And so that's how you become like him, is by spending time with him. And so tonight, as the band begins to play, I just encourage you to spread out. Don't necessarily come to the altar, because that's what you always do. You can kneel down. You can go to the back. Do what I did and lay flat out on your face. Do whatever you need to do to get your focus on him. And as the band plays, don't think about anything else but loving on your Father. Amen.